Hello there, sex fans, and welcome back. Today is Monday, April 4th, 2011, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge. And I'm your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick. I have the pleasure of welcoming back that marvelous artist-illustrator Jezza Smiles for another helping of his charming and insightful take on the creative process. This is part two of his appearance for the Erotic Mind series, don't you know? You did hear last week's show, right? Well, if you didn't, that's okay, because part one of this chat is archived on my site, drdicksexadvice.com. Simply use the site's search function in the header, type in podcast number 269, and voila. But hey, don't forget to use the pound sign when you do your search. Now, Jezza also treats us to another enticing slideshow of his work, so don't miss that. It accompanies today's podcast posting on my site, drdicksexadvice.com. And be sure to check out Jezza and his delicious artwork on his site, jezzasmiles.blogspot.com, and look for him on Facebook, too. Today's podcast is once again brought to you by the granddaddies of male masturbation toys, the amazing Fleshlight and Fleshjack. For those of you who have never seen one of these brilliant devices, let me describe it to you. It looks like a huge flashlight, thus the very clever names, don't you know? Inside the durable plastic case, there's a soft, fleshy inside called Super Skin. And trust me, this stuff is aptly named. It's phenomenal. But that's just the beginning. What makes Fleshlight and Fleshjack so freaking amazing is that you get to design and personalize just about every aspect of the unit you purchase. Now, what other toy company allows you to do that? And ladies, here's a tip. This is the perfect gift for your man. You know how I keep telling you about the mutual joys and important information shared when a couple masturbates together, right? Well, this is the ideal masturbation toy for him. Check it out and see for yourself. I know you will agree. Nothing beats a Fleshlight. Look for their banner in the sidebar of drdicksexadvice.com. You'll be so glad you did. Okay, on with the show. Welcome back, Jezza, and thank you again for joining us this week.
Thank you.
I didn't get nearly enough of you last week, and your laugh is so infectious, and it's good to have you back with us to make more smiles on our face as we listen to you. So I want to pick up precisely where we left off last week. We were talking a lot about you and your background and stuff like that. And one of the things that I absolutely love is the fact that a lot of your characters reflect an ethnic diversity that mirrors what goes on in our culture. And even more so, there seems to be even some older gentlemen among your creations, which makes me even more pleased. Does your ethnicity infuse your work?
Absolutely. You know, as a black man, I want to, what's the word, reflect that, I guess.
Yeah.
But I just think I aim with my work to show a diversity because, you know, there's so many in the world, like when you look at magazines and on TV and stuff, you only are exposed to just like specific looks when it comes to that. And so considering that basically I'm trying to portray a beauty or a fun type of sexiness, I definitely want to portray, and I try to portray what I feel are the underdogs in the gay community, which are the older people, the blacks, and the Asians.
Yes.
You know, like when you go online, it's always no fats, no femmes, no blacks, no one over this age. And
oh, I'll say.
So it's just kind of sad to me, so I definitely push myself to, nope, I'm going to embrace that. I haven't drawn as many fats as I want to because they start out fat and then they become muscular. So it's actually a little bit of a challenge to do that. Like I just recently did an Aries wallpaper, and I did it as kind of like a Seder type ramp. Uh-huh. My original vision was for him to have a nice pot belly.
Uh-huh.
That didn't happen at all. The abs came, and I'm like, oh, I can't erase them. So,
I love it.
But I definitely try and push myself out of those zones and stuff. And I'm trying to, actually, the hardest thing for me to draw are more twinkish type bodies. I'm not very, I struggle with trying to keep them slender and trying to keep them not muscled at all, especially when they're slender.
Yeah.
You know, when they're more round and stuff, you can tend to, it's a little easier to stay to the rounds or the circles and stuff.
Yes.
But when they're slim, it's just, for me, that's a little bit of an obstacle. But I'm working on it.
Ever sense that you were about to break some unspoken rules when you started presenting your first characters of color?
I don't think I broke any rules at all, because I don't think there are any rules.
Oh.
But I do think I'm kind of going against the grain, just
right.
Especially when it comes to commissions or when it tries to, like, building an audience. You know, as sad as it feels, and I say feels because I don't think it's completely true, but most of the audience out there wants a specific look, and when you're showcasing anything out of that look, you tend to only attract the fetish type people, the people who only want that look, or want that look into more extremes or certain stereotypes and stuff. And so I definitely I'm going a little against the grain, but for the most part I don't think it's that bad or I'm breaking any rules, or you know, I've still got some fans that I really, really love. And last year I really was like, my eyes were open to how big of a fan base I had and how much they really care about me and stuff. And so that really, I appreciate the fans that I do have, and if they want a specific look, then they'll go find their specific look. I'm just going to do what I do.
Right. Well, you're gaining new fans through this podcast, I can tell you.
Well, thanks.
So, have you ever attended any of the comic conventions, like Comic-Con, and is held in San Diego each year?
I've been to the Comic-Con one time. It wasn't last year. It was like right when I came back from Australia, and I was like on fire to do all of this.
Mm-hmm.
I went to the Comic-Con with artist Sean Z. You've done
my sweet baby Sean Z.
Yeah, and it was so much fun, and it was so overwhelming. I definitely love the Comic-Cons, which is one of the whole reasons I'm excited that we're doing the BentCon and stuff, just because I think conventions are a great networking and a great way to be pleasantly overwhelmed. Like, it's definitely the Comic-Con in San Diego is overwhelming in just every sense of the word. Like you're motivated, you're inspired, at the same time you're having doubts and second thoughts, like, oh my god. And it's craziness.
Oh, interesting. Speaking of Sean Z, when he and I spoke for this series, and since, you know,
did you cheer him? Because he's flat, those sinful, smutty comics.
Oh, it's so true. It's so true. And he smiles a lot, too, so I'm thinking smiling and smutty comics must go together in some genetic sort of way.
What's not the
smile? I wish I could create comics, because I laugh and smile a whole lot, but I haven't got any talent along those lines, I can tell you. Well, you know, when we spoke together for this series, and in the conversations that we've had by telephone afterwards, he tells me of a growing community of erotic comic makers that he's affiliated with. Are you involved with that group?
With the Bent Comics group?
Yeah, right.
So, yeah. I'm a little isolated because I'm way out here, and most of those people are in California.
Right.
But Sean definitely keeps me updated and in the loop. And with this BintCon, with the convention that we started as a group, it's definitely a lot easier to kind of come together because now we have the convention uniting everybody, and everyone can kind of unite around that.
Mm-hmm. So it turns this relatively solitary work and working situation, like drawing comics or writing, into a collaborative effort. Is that not right?
Oh, absolutely. And just kind of to beat a dead horse, you kind of get to feed off of everyone's energy.
Right.
You get to motivate. Like, if someone's doing a show, like, hey, I'm going to WonderCon, do you guys want to come with? Or we're going to San Diego Comic-Con, you can kind of group together. Or even it just kind of creates the opportunity to meet another artist that you might want to work with. Like,
right.
Do you want to color this? Or I can color your work. Or, hey, let's do a comic together.
How
you know,
cool.
It creates those opportunities.
Yes.
So it's still, you know, BintCon is still very much kind of a baby. I'd say it's in its terrible twos right now. No, it's not in terrible twos. But, you know, like it's learned to walk and it's exploring the world and stuff right now. But I definitely think that there's definitely a resource there, very much to each other as far as support and motivating each other, and if anything, sharing each other's audiences, like exposing.
Right.
Each other to, hey, to another artist or learning about different opportunities and stuff. So definitely.
Interestingly enough, I've discovered a similar effort and opportunities for those who write erotica. There are online communities that are very supportive and educational and offer resources and calls for submission and all of that kind of stuff. So it's a wonderful kind of thing where artists of this particular genre that is sometimes, you know, excluded from the, you know, larger society of either writers or artists.
Yeah.
And it's a wonderful thing. So let me ask you, since that's a perfect segue, has anyone denigrated your art or you for the art that you create, and you know, like, you're so talented, too bad you make all those really big penises?
Too bad you make all those really that no one's really said that
to your face anyhow.
But I have been, it does, you know, you kind of do isolate yourself a little bit when you, because we're in a niche, you know.
Right.
And so that is a little bit, but for the most part, I haven't received the amount of, I guess, judgment or ridicule that I hear a lot about, especially from the artists who I would say are a little more successful or who have been doing this professionally a lot longer. They definitely have a lot more horror stories to share, and so I think it's only a matter of time. But with the support and the network of other erotic artists, I think it's a little easier to endure that sort of stuff, because I do have friends that love my work, but they're a little embarrassed to talk about it, or when they mention, oh, I've got a friend who's an artist and stuff, but then they get a little shy about what kind of stuff. And yet I have other friends, especially females, love to just whip out, especially like a week ago, we were at happy hour, and we were at a bar, and someone was passing around their phone and just showing all these pictures on my blog and all this stuff, and I was like, oh, no, it made me a little embarrassed, because it kind of felt like, you know, I'm standing there with, I don't know, it's your art, and so
I know.
It's
yeah.
a reflection of me, but it kind of felt like I was there exposed, but it was a lot of fun. So to answer your question, I haven't felt it the way I think a lot of other people have, so I know it's there. I just haven't felt it as intensely.
Are you compelled to create?
Absolutely. I mean, even when there's been big periods where I don't draw, and I find that when I'm not drawing, I'm writing and creating stories and creating characters. And if I'm not writing, one of the other things that I love to do, if I couldn't draw, I would just make puppets all day. I'd love to make puppets. Jim Henson is one of my heroes. Growing up, and so I've just always, and so those sort of things, whether you try and do it or not, it's going to happen. It's just like someone who sings, you know, it's like they're not going to stop singing unless you cut their tongue out.
So if somebody took away all of your pens and pencils and whatnot and told you that you could never draw anymore, you would be devastated?
I would be a little devastated, but I think I would be challenged to find a new way to draw. I once told someone else asked me that question, and I said I would draw and come. You'll be my canvas, and I'll just draw all over you.
I love it. I really love it.
It's fun to erase then, because you get to do it all.
Right. So some erotic artists create their art only with words, but you're able to use both words and illustrations. So let's talk about these two different media. Do you have a preference? Do you prefer drawing over writing, or writing over drawing, or what?
You know what? I can't choose a favorite because they're one and the same.
Right.
When I'm drawing, I'm creating a character, or for the most part, I'm creating a character, or I'm drawing a character that I've already created. Uh-huh. And I tend to have little scenarios in my head that go with it. So I can't really say one or the other. I definitely find drawing easier. Like when I sit down, because I've been doing a big project, I've been working on my own comic, and so when I sit down to write on there, I have so much fun, but then I just want to get up and draw, and it's like, no, I need to finish this. You know, I need to finish the thought, finish the scene, finish the dialogue, but it's like, I just want to draw it. So I guess when instincts kick in, I have a stronger urge to draw than I do to write, but they kind of feed off of each other very much.
Is it possible for you as an artist to eroticize something that you don't find personally sexy?
Oh, yeah. Well, I think it's possible, but...
You don't go out of your way to do that.
But I would be faking it, and I think it would show, you know?
Right.
I think,
okay, that's interesting.
I think people would realize he wasn't really into this when they saw the work. Like,
right.
They would be like, yeah, he's not really doing this. I think they would realize that it's not coming from a place of true, like I wasn't feeling it.
Right. So do you believe that erotica is directly related to our sexuality, and it's that authentic erotica really can't be created apart from our sexuality?
I personally would say yes. Mm-hmm. I don't think someone can sexualize something that they're not really feeling,
right.
You know? I'm trying to think of a scenario that I could sexualize something that I'm not feeling, but no. Can't think of it.
Well, you know, the funny thing is that, you know, several people in this series, because I ask a lot of these questions to everybody that I talk to, and a lot of the people have responded and said, you know, I could technically do it, you know, like I could technically, you know, create this thing, but it wouldn't have any life because, you know,
right.
It doesn't really reflect my own, you know, juices.
I think that was well said by whatever wise artist said that. I think that was well put.
Uh-huh, interesting.
Go ahead and doctor this up. And
make it sound like you said that? Okay, I'll do that. Alrighty. So, you know, there are obvious triggers, erotic triggers, such as fetish wear and corsets and jock straps and leather gear and breasts and nipples and penises and vaginas and certain languid poses, etc. But do you think that you can sexualize the blatantly unerotic, like nature and food and everyday clothing?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I think you can, too.
Thanks for the confidence. I think ordinary clothing is easy. You know, if it fits a certain way,
oh, yeah.
it's very much sexy. Actually, a lot of times, like in real life, when you see someone wearing something, clothes, it's a little more sexy than it is. At the beach, a guy wearing board shorts, but with a nice swing in his shorts.
Yeah.
Or a nice butt is a little sexier than the guy running around with the Speedo, you
right.
know, just because there's a little more imagination involved.
Uh-huh.
And with food is, well, food for me is very erotic.
Okay.
Food is my second orgasm. You know, it's like, oh, wait, I'm having a moment. It's like, don't move. But food, and I've seen some actually clever ads where they've sexualized food. There's, you may have seen this one, but one of my favorite images was, it's an image of ketchup being poured on a hot dog, but the ketchup is very much shaped like a tongue.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh, that is so, like, I can almost not see the hot dog and ketchup. Right. All I see is a licking dick.
Uh-huh. That's so true. That is so true. So here's a dumb question. Do you look to work with a particular body type? We talked about this a little bit last week, but, you know.
Well, muscles are definitely the instinct. Like, that's, yeah. like, when I sit down and just draw, that's just natural. But that's also part of my process. Like, I don't really do the stick figures. I block out, like, when I'm drawing a rough sketch, they're blocked out so I understand where the muscles or where their body is contorting and stuff like that.
Oh,
so it's natural. And then so when it comes to like actually doing a final pencil or whatever, the muscles are already there.
Mm-hmm.
And then if they're skinnier, I have to kind of shrink them down or kind of try and keep them a little slimmer or kind of lose some of the musculature. Mm-hmm. And if they're fatter, I just kind of go and round them out a little more.
But even your big boys are muscle boys, you know, they're muscle bears as opposed to just fat boys.
Yeah, I'm trying to push myself outside of them just being muscle bears, but if I'm going to be with a bear, I want them to be a muscle bear. That's so cute. But, I don't know if you're familiar with the artist Logan. He has a character named Porky, and Porky's not muscled at all. But I love the fact that he's not muscled. I love that he's a little chubster because he's challenged my own perception of the world.
Right.
There's a guy at the gym who is this little chubster that loves to linger in the locker room.
Uh-huh.
And at first, it used to really annoy me. But after a few episodes of Logan's comic, I kind of see him differently. Like, I wonder if he's just a little piggy waiting to be just dominated, to have someone fuck his mouth or whatever, you know?
Like,
now all of a sudden I'm seeing this guy in a completely different way.
How interesting.
And so I would like to be able to do something similar like that with my own work, as far as push outside of just, I don't want muscles to only be there. I'd like to be able to still sexify no muscles at all, just big boys being big boys.
Right. Are there topics that you gravitate toward? Are there topics that you avoid?
Oh, there's definitely topics I try to avoid. I try to avoid two big things that are actually, I would love to be able to, but overall, because I don't have a strong enough stance to stick to it, I don't do them, when it comes to religion and politics. I've done religious and political inspired, but those are two things that I would like to be able to voice a lot more often, but because I kind of, I'm very open-minded, and so when someone says something, I start to think about it a little differently and stuff. Because I don't have a very black and white view, I don't illustrate it in my art, just because I don't want to be fickle. You know, like, oh, I said this one week, and I said the next week. If I can't stay true to one statement, then I'm not going to put it out there.
Mm-hmm. What do you look for in the work of other erotic artists?
Mostly style. Like I'm more drawn to cartoonish type style. The more cartoony, generally, the better for me. I love exaggerations, obviously. I tend to do that, as well as vibrant colors, as well as I'm kind of more attracted to artists who feature a diversity as well within
when it
comes to race or body shapes or even just types of personalities.
Right.
Like some artists, there's a couple that I'm trying to think of right now. Their characters tend to look the same, but they've got so many diverse personalities that in itself attracts me, because so what if they look the same? They're definitely voicing a different type of personality.
So true. It's so true. Who inspires you? And who are your sexual heroes, if you have any?
I'm going to need you to specify what you mean by sexual hero.
Well, you know, I try not to elaborate that, because if you have something, you know, that comes to mind, fine. If you don't, that's okay. It's just it's a question I ask just about everybody, and some people have a ready answer, and other people have none. So,
okay. Well, I'm inspired by a lot of artists. Like I mentioned before, Jim Henson is definitely one of my biggest motivators. Jim Henson is bigger than Walt Disney to me.
Yes.
And I'm a big, big Disney fan.
Mm-hmm.
But Patrick Filion on a daily basis is inspired. As I've gotten to know him, he's even more of an inspiration than he was when I just knew his artwork. His personality alone is just inspiring, because I admire how humble and how friendly he is.
I would love to have him come on this series.
I would love to hear.
Well, you'll have to help me corral him, because I've pitched him a couple of times and I.
Oh, okay. I know he's very busy.
Yeah.
I know he's very, very busy. Yeah. It took me a while to be able to land him for an interview, but it was well worth the wait.
Okay.
And he delivers. No, I don't want to say anything. If he were single, I would have fun with that. But, so he inspires me. And, you know, Sean Z also has been a very big inspiration to me. On top of being an inspiration, he's an amazing friend, and he helps me stay motivated on top of everything. If we just call each other and it's just a vent, or sometimes he's talking about his projects and it gets me so worked up, or he's voicing frustrations that kind of make me feel a little more comfortable with feelings that I might be feeling and didn't want to say out loud or whatever. So he's been a big inspiration as far as to make it more specific and to not sound corny or generic, but the people that I interview have been on my blog have been enormous inspirations. I feed off of that like crazy. One, I have a lot of fun with them in the process, and two, I love their work and I love learning about the energy behind it. You know, I've these interviews have kind of led on to like phone conversations or email interactions that have just made it really exciting that, you know, that I can't wait to meet these people and stuff. It's like there's this artist group or artists in France that I'm like, I'm going to France because I have to meet them. Silencio, oh, you should definitely do an interview with Silencio. His voice,
oh, I love that. Like, I've done, you know,
I might have a whole new use for you.
Like, David Contrero is just one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Oh, I love him.
Yeah.
And, Benoit Prevost. Oh, my gosh.
You know, it was Sean Z who put me on to him.
Oh, I think I put him on. I introduced those two, I think.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay. Well, it certainly, yeah. Absolutely.
It's a wonderful, wonderful community, and I'm so glad, you know, you guys are getting to know each other, because they're, you know, and Benoit said that, oh my gosh, he was so isolated in Paris, and I said, oh my goodness, I know people all around you, so let me introduce you. Oh dear.
Yeah.
So there you go.
I'm going to reach out to him.
So our time is up again for this week, and as you can see, I could go on and on and on. You are so charming and so delightful, and such a rich resource for talking about what is erotic and why is it art. And I thank you so much for participating in this project.
Thank you. It was a lot of fun.
Difference. Good, good, good. So before we conclude again, would you give us your website address and walk us around? What can we find there?
Okay. JezzaSmiles, JezzaSmiles.blogspot.com. And it's basically just a way for me to showcase my work right now until my website's up, as well as an insight into other artists, because I like to feature at least one artist monthly, and just an insight into them as a person, as a artist, as well as a sexual person. That's pretty much it. My art and insight into other artists.
Cool.
So far, yeah.
So we will be visiting you in cyberspace.
Visit.
Thank you again, my friend, and we will be talking soon, I hope.
Thank you very much, Dr. Dick.
Bye. Be well.
You too.
Fantastic show, huh? Well, that's it for today, sex fans. Tune in later this week, Wednesday to be precise, for another podcast and more Sex Advice with an Edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is the fabulous Fleshlight and Flesh Jack. You know, all you guys out there who keep complaining to me about your short fuse, well, here's a tip for you. Being a great lover, being able to control your orgasmic response and to last for as long as you'd like takes practice. Now, sure, you can learn to last longer simply by using your hand, but now there's an even more effective way to train yourself for sexual stamina and endurance with a partner. Allow me to introduce you to the Endurance Jack. It's just one of the fine designs from Fleshlight. It comes with a stamina insert, which has extra large bumps and a tight canal. With just a little practice with this puppy, you'll be able to last longer, gain control over your ejaculatory response, and avoid untimely climax. Once you've accomplished this with the Endurance Jack, you'll have all the skills that you need to last and last with a partner. And remember, these fine products are made in the good old U.S. of A. So look for the Flesh Jack banner right there in the sidebar of DrDickSexAdvice.com. Speaking of sex toys, I want to take a moment to invite you to check out my adult products review site, DrDickSexToyReviews.com. That's right, sex fans, now you can see what's hot and what's not in the world of adult products. You can even find our reviews of several Fleshlight products. You'll find reviews of all sorts of adult goodies, sex toys for sure, but also condoms, lubes, edible products, fetish gear, as well as educational and enrichment videos. Don't miss a single one. Again, the address is DrDickSexToyReviews.com. And look for all of Dr. Dick's podcasts on iTunes. You'll find me in the podcast section under Health, subcategory Sexuality, or just search for Dr. Dick's Sex Advice. Don't forget to subscribe and feel free to leave a comment when you do. Until next time, remember, sex is good, and good sex? Why, that's even better. Over and out.